Go ahead and open up to Luke 7. This is homework, really. I'm not going to teach out of this. I just want to share Luke's account of the incident with the centurion and the servant. And, I appreciate all four Gospels. How about you? I thank God that we have these witnesses. Now, most of this service tonight, we're going to be talking about the instructions that came from the Lord during the 8:30 service this morning. So, but let's read this. This is a good homework. I want you all, please, to be meditating this. I'm asking you to meditate everywhere you find this about the centurion, because he's not going to let us off of this authority thing for a while. I think he's not going to let us off of it till we're walking in it. Okay? I mean, this, we're moving from pray for the sick to heal the sick. Okay? And that's revival, by the way. So anyway, Luke chapter 7 says, "Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion servant," and again, this is a Roman soldier. He's Italian, I would think, by birth. Don't know for sure, but he's not a Jew, that's for sure. But he has 100 men under him. That's why he's called a centurion. "A certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die." See, I told you it wasn't a head cold. This is serious. Ready to die. "When he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this." Now, the reason for this whole discourse here, nobody on planet Earth had a covenant at this moment with God except the Jewish people. Okay? So, notice the centurion's a smart man. He sent the Jewish elders to ask Jesus to do this. And they're trying to explain to Jesus why he should manifest the covenant, if you'll allow me, for somebody who's not a part of the covenant. So they're saying, "For he loveth our nation." Excuse me, let's read verse 4 again. "They came to Jesus, besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was not now far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof." Now what he means by that, he's a Gentile. He is not a Jew. He's being very courteous to Jesus, saying, "I'm not wanting to get you in any trouble. I'm not a Jew. I don't want to get you in trouble. You don't need to come under my roof." But then he says, "Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee." Now what he means by that is the same thing. Now we had others, you know, that woman, oh, I didn't look it up, but she had a daughter grievously tormented of a devil. Remember that? And she wasn't a Jew either. He said, "Healing is the children's bread." You remember that? She said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." She had faith beyond that current covenant. She knew God was bigger than that covenant. And so she was really drawing from the future realm, even though Jesus hadn't been resurrected yet. Her faith was bigger. And he said, "Woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee as thou hast believed." And when she got home, her daughter was in her right mind. She was okay. Amen. Well, this one here, he's just, again, being very courteous. "Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee." Now here it says, "But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also," now this is, I love how this is worded here. Well, Jesus is going to say it again. This guy has the greatest faith he's found. Now notice, this guy says, "For I also am a man under authority." That word "also" is so important, because this man understood that Jesus was a man under authority. He says, "I also am a man under authority. I know how this works. I am under authority to Caesar, and all the power of Rome is present to back up what I say. But I understand that you also are a man under authority to God. And all the resources of heaven is available to back up what you say. And I know you have authority over all sickness and disease. You say the word. You just speak it. And the same way my servant has to go when I speak to him, that sickness will go from my servant when you speak to it. That's good stuff right there. I like how the Lord gave it to me. That centurion, he understood. When I speak, it is done. The church has got to get a revelation of that. When I speak in the name now, when I speak, it is done. And I mean have that same assurance like that fellow had. If something tries to resist what I speak, you don't even want to know about the armies that are marching this direction to make sure you obey. Now, it's going to be that way with sickness, disease, devils. We have got to have that same assurance. The message this morning, the title is, I Want to Be Believed. When Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. And I mean all of heaven will back up what you say. He wants to be believed. It's good stuff, isn't it? Verse 8 again. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. To my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And by that, he's implying, if you, the same way that I say, go to my servant, and he goes, you say, go to that sickness, and it'll go. But now Jesus said, all power, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Therefore, you go. Would you go? Would you be going with that authority or not? He said, Father, I'm sending them the same way that you sent me. We have this morning's message. Will unbelief affect that? Absolutely. We went to Matthew 17. Well, what's the cure for unbelief? Prayer and fasting. Dave was right the whole time. That Pastor Dave, he paved that 4-lane highway into all this, 20 years ago? And we're all getting there going, he was right. Who knew? When Jesus, verse 9, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. And when they that were sent returned to the house, they found the servant whole that had been sick. And remember, ready to die. The power, the authority of God is released through faith-filled words. Unbelief is the only thing holding that back. But that's a good thing, because unbelief can be dealt with. The death blow can be dealt to unbelief through prayer and fasting. Say it with me. The Holy Ghost is smarter than I am dumb. He's able to lead me even when I can't find the way. He's stronger than I am weak. And if I trust him, he will get me there. Amen. Amen. That's good stuff, right? Amen. So be meditating that. Now, back up just a little bit into chapter 6 and look at verse 46. Because it seems, see, that whole thing hinged on authority, though, didn't it? That whole thing. He says, I am a man under authority also, like you're a man under authority. And we've already been to John 5:30, where Jesus says, I don't do anything of my own will. I don't even consult my own will. I am only here to do the will of the Father who sent me. Well, we're to be here to do the will of Jesus who sent us. So, same thing. So, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Well, if you're not doing what he says, by definition, isn't that pretty much not under authority? For benefit of the video. Nobody wanted to answer that one. If you're not doing what he says, isn't that kind of the definition of not being under authority? And then, you know, David always lovingly take us back to verse 27 of that chapter. Well, if we could only find his sayings, we could do them. You know, do like Alan. I'm going to do the sayings of Jesus. Going to get a new car. Going to get a better job. Going to get a pretty wife. This is great. If I could just find the sayings of Jesus and do them, I'm going to be on the rock. Let's see, what are his sayings? So Dave says, let's back up a little. Maybe we can find some. Verse 27 says, but I say, Dave goes, perhaps this is one of his sayings. I love our pastor. Going to get a new wife. No, going to get a new car. I don't want a new wife. I like my wife. Going to get a new car. Going to, you know, how, but then you come here and he says, going to get a big anointing. But I say unto you which hear, what? Wait a minute. What? Love your enemies? Do good to them which hate you? Bless them that curse you? Pray for them which despise you? Not going to get a new car, not going to get a... I didn't want to obey that when he started dealing with me about forgiving. But he just kept telling me gently, you're not going to go very far with me unless you do. See, and I didn't even know. I was in Mark. It happened to me back in Mark 11. You know, when you stand praying, forgive. If you not forgive from the heart every man their trespasses, neither will my heavenly Father forgive you. And he just right there, I hadn't even got to this yet. I didn't know you're supposed to pray for those that despitefully use you. But that's what he had me do. Just pray that I'll bless them. I don't want to. Do you want to go with me? I do. Pray that I'll bless them. I don't want to. But do you want to go with me? Yes, I do. How many of you are grateful for the long suffering of the Lord? I haven't taught this yet, but I wrote a little lesson over the weekend titled Space to Repent. How many of you are glad the Lord gives us space to repent? See, and he's long-suffering and kind and slow to anger. Now, that will come to an end. Anyway, that's another lesson. Well, I'm saying all that to say this. Many of these are all universal things. This is to every person in the body of Christ. Love your enemies, and the Holy Spirit will help you get there, okay? But see, there's also another aspect of this. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? That's when you start getting individual instructions. And he mentions that some in these prophecies. Now, to me, what happened this morning, I got to close that. Otherwise, I'll keep teaching out of it. What happened this morning was an answer to our prayers. One of the things we do is we seek the Lord. What is your will for us? What do you want us to do? Lord, we're here praying. Most of the time you're praying in other tongues and your understanding's unfruitful. You don't even know what you're praying. But way down what we're going is we want to know your will. We want to know your plan. What would you have us do, Lord? And so like this morning, the Lord like walks in through the wall, if you'll allow me, and he gives us some plain, straight, now us meaning this body. This is not quite the same as Gary personally, but it is Gary personally because I'm part of this body. So this is to us collectively and individually, okay? And to me, this is an answer to prayer. How many want to go on farther than where we are? So he came and he gave us some simple instructions that we can all do to help us go on farther, okay? Now, I've been reading this. Boy, the staff here is amazing. I got this just as I was going home from the second service today. So I've had time to read it a few times. Do I have copies for you? No, I do not. But they're still editing. This is the rough copy anyway. But it'll be available at the website in just a few days, okay? And if you haven't signed up to get those, I'm sure this will be part of the present day speaking. You can sign up to get them by email. I don't have email. There's a teenager on your block. Hey, I just dealt with a 90s. Y'all know Peggy Elliott? I was talking with Peggy today. how to listen to MP3s on her laptop, 96 years old. Now, get over yourself. Stop it. You can listen to him on your stinking phone. Come on. Or you're not stinking. Your phone. There. All right. Now, I think we have time to read these. There's not that many. But what I want to do, I've been digesting this as much as I can this afternoon. Listen, I have been around long enough to know there's no such thing as change without change. That's deep. I know. In other words, if you don't do something on purpose to fit this into your life, a week will go by, 2 weeks will go by, a month will go by, and this time next year, we'll be saying, you remember when he said, and nothing will have changed in your life because you didn't make any change. That's what I mean when I say there's no such thing as change without change. Your prayer life will not change by accident. Boy, this is the prayer center, right? It won't. You're going to have to make a change. Work it on purpose. When he said, he doesn't come with these instructions without us, him. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? So let's get into it. I speak to my body from the child to the young man to the father and everyone in between. Say, that means me. For I am looking behind the wall. Now, this is, by the way, that I can tell the Lord is referencing here from the Song of Solomon. This is from the Song of Solomon, right? He's looking through the lattice at his beloved. And he's saying, whoa, man, you know, he's going, ooh, you come away with me. But it's really Christ and the bride. The type is Christ and the bride. So he's saying, I'm looking behind the wall, through the window, through the lattice, and I'm saying, my beloved, my fair one, come away with me. Come away with me, for these rooms that you have not experienced in me, I am beckoning you into. For I speak to the fathers, for those who are mature, for many would say, oh, we know this. Yeah, we know this. Yes, Lord, we fellowship with you. But I am saying, no, there is more. There is a deeper realm, and there is a deeper level. My beloved, my fair one, come away with me. I look through the window and through the lattice, and I beckon, and I say, come. For there is an intimacy with me that fulfills you beyond anything that you could experience in this present life. Some have touched it, and some have walked away. But I am asking you to come deeper into it. For I will fill you in places that you did not know were possible to be filled. Places that seemed impossible, where you have lived and what you have always felt. For I desire to fulfill these places. Now, this stood out to me. I desire to fulfill these places, but the only way. Say, the only way. The only way that I can is if you come deeper into the fellowship that I am calling you into. I speak to the child, to the young man, and to the father. Come away with me and receive my strength, my grace, my nourishment, and anything that the devil has brought that has been of torment and that has been of destruction. I will fulfill you with my life, my plan, and my justice. The Lord hardly ever uses the word justice. In all of these years that I've been listening to these and reading these prophecies, you will not find that word very often. But I will bring my life, my plan, and my justice. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. So come away with me. Yield to me. Now, that's the first one. Now, here's my counsel, if you regard it at all. If you don't do something on purpose to go away with him, nothing's going to change. See, when he says things like, to me, this sounds like, how would you do this? Does this sound like worship? Does it sound like fasting? Sound like, I don't know what it sounds like to you. Probably the Holy Spirit, whatever that means to you. You know, I would listen. But make adjustments in your schedule. Do something on purpose. Don't leave your going away. If you were going to Disney World in Orlando, would you just leave that to chance? I just believe someday I'm going to wake up and I'll be in Orlando. Is that going to work? Don't you have to plan it? You better plan going away with him. Pack a bag. Treat this like it's real. What I'm saying is carve out some time in your schedule that's different than what you've been doing. That's what he's saying. Come away with me. Come away with me. Now, in my mind, knowing that the type and shadow here is two lovers. I read that passage again, by the way, and I'll just tell you, it's in the springtime. The winter is past. The flowers are in bloom. Young lovers in the spring. I remember young love. I wasn't interested in your problems. I wasn't interested in the news. I just wanted to be with my love, you know. You mean that right? You understand? He's saying, this is not the same as praying in tongues while you're doing the vacuum. I mean, I'm glad Sue loves me while she's running the vacuum, but I'm glad we have some time away from work time, vacuum time, driving time. This is intimate time. Do something on purpose to go away with him. Okay? All right, next one. Speak my truth, obey me, and you will see change. That's the title on it. Now, this one specifically do with finances. Okay? You remember, how many are been here long enough to remember when that word come through Pastor Dave years ago, speak to the strongholds of lack and declare an abundance. Amen? You remember? Well, the Lord hadn't forgot that. Now, thank God I felt a little bit good that we at least once a week on Sunday night, we may be a few, you know, we may be Gideon's army here, but there's a few people at least every Sunday night speaking against the strongholds of lack because we've got it in our confessions. But I can tell here he's talking about turning it up. I remember those days when I was trying to change and break strongholds. It wasn't no once every Sunday night. It's 4 hours a day for me. And then he told me, that's before I knew about hope, godly hope, incorporating hope with your speaking. See it as done while you're saying it. Remember all that? Well, you need to remember all that, okay? All right, so let's just read what he said. Now, these are instructions from the Lord. One time, this is way back in the early days, and I was doing exactly what I'm talking about now. I had left the trucks, and I was not really in doing, we had the Bible study going, I think. That was the only thing we had going in the earth, you know. And so I'm praying like a house of fire. I was not leaving my prayer life to chance. I had that ugly building at the time, and I had a time I got there and a time I left, and that was minimum. I had no phone. I had no, well, I did have a little laptop eventually. I didn't even have that to start with. But the point was there's no distractions. So I've got my set time, right? I'm just, okay, it changed several times, but basically it was dawn till noon every day. Dawn till noon, pray in tongues, dawn till noon. This went on for quite a while. I wrote revelations. Many of those are still the foundation of what I teach today, okay? But then one day, now you'll find this funny. This is the importance of hear and obey. One day I'm praying like just like any other day, Shandala Mahandai, I tie my bow tie, I'm praying. that type of thing. I'm just praying along, and the Lord, I hear him as clear as you hear in my voice. I'm not going to say you who or me, but he says, take so much money to so-and-so. And I knew who they were, and I knew where they were. And my response was, I'll be happy to do that, Lord, right after I finish my prayer time. And it was like, I think he almost found it humorous. I didn't feel condemnation. I felt like, isn't the purpose of prayer to hear my voice? Oh, I want you to take it now. Interrupt my prayer time? You mean you're Lord over my prayer time? See, the point, the whole point of everything we're doing is to hear the Lord, hear and obey. Well, we heard. Now he's watching to see if we obey. So let me read this second one to you. Did I not say to speak against the strongholds of lack? I want you to speak against the strongholds of lack in your own personal life. Let's stop there. How many would be willing to do that? Let's do it. I speak against the strongholds of lack in my personal life. Therefore, I say, there is no lack. I operate from abundance. My wallet is overflowing. My bank accounts are overflowing. I'm asking for God's wisdom. What he wants to do with all this extra money. Lack, you go from my house. I speak abundance. In Jesus' name. Now don't tell me you don't know how to do it. That's how you do it. Now you walk the floor and do that. You have to listen to the Lord now for your own personal instruction on that. But now that's number one. I want you to speak against the strongholds of lack in your own personal life and for my church here. He's talking about the prayer center, the church here, this body. For poverty is not my will. Did you get that? Poverty is not my will. Speak against the strongholds of lack, for I want you to see my abundance so that you might be a blessing to others. And I have instructed you to do this, and this has been done for some time. He remembers us. He thank God he remembers us. But many have walked away from my instruction. Speak against the strongholds of lack, because it cannot stay in my body. This is like anything else. It has no will. It's like cancer or anything. It has to obey. And I want you to eradicate it. That's a strong word. You speak my word. All right? For I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ. Repeat after me. For I know the grace that though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, that I, through his poverty, might be rich. The young lions do hunger and suffer lack. But those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. For my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now that's just three verses. That's the ones he had me walk for and talk 4 hours a day, not for a day, not for a week, months, until that stronghold was broken. Now I can tell you, he's not just speaking. He's wanting me to break into a higher level of abundance than that. He wants us to be able to minister everything that Dave pioneered for 40 years to feed the world. Amen? And you listen, the only thing holding that back has been finances. Okay? So the enemy thinks he's got us in a box. God's saying, get out of the box. It's up to us whether we get out of the box or not. Okay, so you speak my word, you speak my truth, that which I have said will come to pass. I hear it. Don't you hear it? I want to be believed. That which I have promised, that which I have spoken, fill your mind, your mouth, and your being with what I have said and speak against the strongholds of lack. For this place will see abundance. That'd be a good one to just say. Take about an hour. This place will see abundance. The Lord has spoken it. What he says shall come to pass. This place will see abundance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, we're going to war, people. We got instructions from the king. Now let's do it. And it won't happen by chance. I'm telling you, change only happens with change. Okay. This place will flourish with my prosperity. For my prosperity is not an evil word. You know, to many people it has become almost that. But it's a good thing. And though many have perverted it and changed it into something that it was not, I want this body to walk in my prosperity and in my abundance. Mm. Well, I do too, Lord. I sure wish you'd give me some instructions on how I could be a part of that. Boy, we'd like to see that, Lord. Speak my word. Speak my word. Speak against the strongholds of lack and speak my word. That's our part. He's given us our instruction. So speak against the strongholds of lack in your own life and for this body. For you will see my abundance if you follow my instructions. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? For change is on the horizon. Do you know what that phrase means? The change was always there. But now, if it's on the horizon, it has come into view. It's close enough to see now. Okay? We're that close. I love that. There is much that needs to be accomplished. And do you not think that I have provided for it already? Do you not think that I would provide all the finances needed to have my revival? All I need is someone to believe me. I want to be believed. All I need is someone to believe my word, to believe that which I have said, to come deeper into me in these realms. Obey me in this, and you will see change. How many are covenant tonight? You're going to obey this. Do it on purpose now. Write these things down. Get you some scriptures. It doesn't have to be those three. Get you some scriptures and speak His word. And be sure and use that phrase. I speak against the strongholds of lack in my own life and in this body. Amen? Okay, next one. Answer the call. In obedience is your victory. He said, there have been many. There have been many that I have been calling to answer the call on their life. But the pride of life, the lust of other things, has always been in the way. To some, it seems like to choose me and my calling and where I am leading that you would have to lay down certain things that you think are of worth. But those certain things that you think are of worth, that you are holding on to, has stopped my very plan from moving forward. My great reasoning mind, back when the Lord told me to leave the trucks, my great reasoning mind was, Lord, I got a car payment. And I have a wife with an eating habit. My wife wants to eat every single day. Some days more than once. Being a little humorous. The amazing thing, it's almost like He did this on purpose. Once we got that car was done. Now that was in 1995. From then till now, Sue and I have never had another car payment. He has supernaturally gone out of His way to provide every car that we've ever had. It's almost like He just, Gary, are you getting this? That thing that was so big that was preventing you from obeying me? Think I'm not able to handle that? Now, right, I feel like I have to balance this because we have young men with children in the house. The written word, until you get a specific word from the Lord, and I mean something stronger than I felt led, I can take you to the place in the road on Interstate 40 where the Lord told me to leave that job. He did not stutter, and it was more than an I felt led moment. I could. This is your last trip as a truck driver. When you get back off of this, give your dispatcher 2 weeks' notice. He will not require it of you, and you'll be free to serve me full time. I can I'll never forget it till the day I die. Now, if you're a family man with children in the house and you have not heard the Lord say something like that, where you can tell me where you were when he said it and when he said it to you and what did he say, you keep a job. He that does not provide for his own is worse than an infidel, and he's denied the faith. And if a man will not work, neither let him eat. But there does for those that he calls. Now, these are people that he's calling. Did he call the fishermen? They were doing what they're supposed to be doing. They had a job. They were feeding their families. But he comes. Come and follow me. Now, if he does that, then you come and you go and follow him. So that's who he's talking to here. But I feel like I have to throw that in, or I'm going to have a bunch of... Because people want to go full time. And God may... They may feel a call, but God may not have that for them to for 10 years down the road. I mean, to actually leave. You know, their kids may be grown by the time they step out. I don't know. See? But to have that feeling, to have that longing is different than what did the Lord say. Okay. For I said, love not the world, nor the things of the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that is not of me. And I am beckoning for many to answer the call, because no one can fulfill the call that I have placed on your life but you. How many knows there's no replacing Dave Roberson? I mean, we can teach the same doctrine. God will use us in the gifts we have, but there's only one Dave Roberson. You know, thank God he obeyed God. Thank God that he, you know, and he's still obeying God, and he's got more of a race to run. Amen. Okay. But I am beckoning for many to answer the call, because no one can fulfill the call that I have placed on your life but you. I'm not saying this to condemn. I am knocking again at your heart saying, come. Follow me, for there is a price in following me and answering the call, because you must forsake your own life. That's what the Roman centurion did. He didn't get to choose where he lived. He didn't get to choose his job assignment. He didn't get to choose the people that he worked with. No. Okay. You must forsake your way of doing things. You must forsake your control. Boy, that's a big one. That's a big one right there. That's a big one. We're going to run over a little bit, and that's okay. When I read that line, I think it's Ezekiel. I'd have to look it up again. I've taught on it several times, but it's talking about that river that flows out of the throne room of God. And the guy was measuring it. He said, I measured it with the line, and first it was up to the ankles. You can tell the guy's going out further into the river. And it's a river, not a lake. A river has a current. Well, if you walk out ankle deep, you can feel the current a little bit, but your feet are still on the bottom. You're still in control. So you walk out a little farther and it's knee deep. You can feel the current, but your feet are still touching the bottom, which means you can go back anytime you want. You're still in control. You go out further and it says it became hip deep. Whoa. Now, if that's a swift river, you can really feel the current. It's trying to take you somewhere, but you're still in control. But then it became water for swimming. He's calling us to that next step, you guys, where your feet are not touching the bottom anymore. You're not in control where you go anymore. You finally step into that place where the river has you. And the river will take you where he wants you to go. But you have to let go of control. Can't be touching the bottom anymore. No plan B. Once you step out beyond where your feet are touching the bottom now the river has you. You got to trust where that river takes you. Isn't that good stuff? You must forsake your control. It might seem scary to the soul. Oh, trust me. It might seem scary to the soul that has not been transformed yet, but I assure you, if you obey me and follow me, I will take care of you. For the fear that stops you, that says, that you will not have what you need, that's not from me. So when you choose your way of doing things and following the way of this world, it's always going to not satisfy, and it's going to leave you empty. Because you know in your heart of hearts that God has been beckoning. He has been calling. Answer the call. Because on that path of obedience where you follow me into more death, into more mortification. How many of you think this might include fasting? This might include more prayer time. Into more doing what I have placed on your life to do through obedience to me. All things will be provided for you. Well, you got chapter and verse for that. Matthew 6, 30-33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Lord knows what you have need of before you ask him. I like to think of him, the God that's more than enough. See, Sue is the Mimi that's more than enough to Lily. Sue already has Lily's next shoes in our garage. I mean, in our closet, not the garage. She already has her next shoes. Lily didn't even know she needs them yet. Mimi does. Mimi found them on sale. They're already in the closet. She's the Mimi that answers before the need is there. Well, God's like that. Your provision's already in his closet, if you'll allow me. Hallelujah. On that path of obedience where you... Okay, I read them. So do not fear. Do not be afraid. Do not worry. That's easy. See, those are commands. He says the same thing. Fear not. You're going, fear not, he says. And you will say, well, I can't make this step. But I assure you that I have given you my grace to make this step. So obey my instructions. For many know that I am speaking to them right now. They know where they left off and did not follow me. And again, I'm not saying this to bring condemnation. I'm saying this to say, I want you to move forward with me. For there are offices and callings in my body that need to be fulfilled. And the only one who can fill it is those that I have placed the calling on. So obey me. Come deeper into me, and I will equip you, and I will give you the words to speak. I will provide the finances, for in obedience is your victory to my voice. So follow me, obey me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, this is the last one. Do not quench the Spirit. It says, do not discredit the gifts of my Spirit. Do not discredit the gifts that I have placed on you. Do not discredit the gifts of my Spirit and the working of my operations. For I have given them to you, and I have given them to you to be used for the edification of my body. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the flow of my gifts and operation. I'm just going to stop and exhort a minute. See, we talk a lot about most of the recent revivals in the last 100 years have been gift revivals. Well, we're not discrediting the gifts. But what happens when the Lord, when you start obeying and the Lord begins using men and women in the gifts, you become a real target for the enemy. And if you're full of flesh handles, man, that's when the destruction comes. And so it's scandal after scandal, you know, run off with the secretary, run off with the money, run off with the secretary and the money or something, you know. And so that's normally what happens, but we've never discredited. I hope you understand that we believe in the gifts. Now, let me tell you from experience, when the gifts begin to manifest, they're going to surprise you. You're going to know, like a word of knowledge. Suddenly there's a word of knowledge, and you know, and you don't know how you know, but you know. Well, how many of you think he gave you that to ignore? It's really quiet. Now, that doesn't mean he'll have you expose or embarrass them in front of people. It's not like that. He's either telling you how to pray. He's giving you information that you're going to need to minister to them. But the gifts of the Spirit, they're for real. And he doesn't give them for no purpose. So what he's saying is it's not okay to just ignore them. It's okay to say, Lord, I need more training on that. He will train you on that. Anyway, I want you to mature, but in the maturing, I want you to be available to be used in the gifts that I have given to you. Let's start right there. Say, Father, I am maturing, but I want you to know from this night forward, I'm available. I'm sensitive for you to manifest the gifts through me. I'm available. I may ask you to train me more because I don't want to misuse your gifts, but I'm not going to ignore them. And I am available for your use. Okay. So do not discredit them as a light thing, for I desire a church that would be in full operation with no gift lacking. None. And on their way to maturity in me, that they would come behind in no gift, that they would flow in all the workings and movings of my spirit, so that edification would be brought to my present body. So yield to the promptings when I ask you to. Lord, you said it. I'm going to do it. My promise is I will yield to the promptings of the gifts whenever you ask me. Okay? It starts there. See? Yield to the promptings when I speak to you. Yield to me when I ask you to step out in these gifts that I have placed on you that are not yours to own. They're His gifts. They are mine. I gave them to you with a purpose and a reason to bring edification. So yield every single time. I want these gifts to flow in operation because it is my will and it is my plan. And as you do this more and more, you will see more and more change in the flowings of my spirit and operations. Amen? Now, I've taught on these things before. Okay, I've taught on these things. I'm going to give you one quick one because in the early days he was training me. I was in Korea. I don't know anybody in Korea but Pastor Jin Ho and Sunae. I don't know anybody else. And well, the last night of those meetings, they always had a big prayer line. I mean, we wouldn't get out of there like 2 a.m. I mean, there's hundreds of people in this prayer line. And I'm going through. I'm younger then, by the way. I'm going through. And suddenly, I'm standing in front of this one guy. And as clear, I knew it wasn't there, but I saw on the floor right beside this guy, an old leather-like or canvas tool bag. Some kind of, it wasn't metal, some kind of flexible tool bag like my daddy used to have as a carpenter, you know, as a young man. And I saw in that bag saws and hammers and all the tools type of thing that a fix-it guy would have, you know. And I just saw it there by this fellow that I'm about to pray for. They don't speak English, by the way, and I don't speak Korean, obviously. But I see it, and so I tell Pastor, I say, Pastor, I don't know why. See, what's the easiest thing to do? Ignore that. Because if I say I see it and they're going, we don't know why, you feel like a fool, right? The easiest thing is to ignore it. But he had given me an instruction at that time very similar to this one. And I'm trying to learn and not discredit the gifts. So I said, Pastor, I don't know why, but when I stand in front of this man, I see this tool bag right next to him. And it's full of saws and hammers and all kinds of tools. And Pastor, I could tell it hit a nerve. Pastor Jin Ho's looking at me and he goes, well, this is brother so-and-so. He's employed here at the church. He's our fix-it guy. He is our hammer and saw guy. Tell him the same God that gave me that information is about to speak to him now and give him information that he needs. I see, the whole purpose of that was so that guy who didn't know me from Adam would know that whatever was coming next, God was talking to him. I wasn't just another pasty white American. Money grubbing over there. You understand what I'm saying? So it had a purpose. It had a reason to set this guy up to, you better pay attention to what's coming next. And to be honest with you, I don't even remember the word that the Lord spoke to him. I don't remember it at all. But I remember that incident because it was a training, learning how to start functioning in the gifts of the Spirit. Yes, I know we're running over a little bit. All right, this last one. My unfailing love never ceases. And as you love me, my grace flows to you. And as my grace flows to you, more of your love flows to me and overflows into you. Receive my grace. Receive my grace. Amen? Amen. Now listen, those things will be available very soon, and I apologize that I don't have copies for everybody. I wish I did. But make some change in your schedule. Change does not happen without change. Those instructions, he intends for them to be obeyed. Okay? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?